We sampled them from them, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the
humans
to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
Hello and welcome to the Copyright Experiment here on CITR 101.9. This is DJ Mochi here with DJ Autonomy.
Yo.
And we're going to take you through this episode of the Copyright Experiment with a nice little talk and then some mixing. And
as always.
Yeah. We'll keep it chill. So what are we talking about this week, Tim?
This week we're talking about an article that's kind of sparked more of a general discussion about basically what the value of music is, what the intrinsic value of music is, that is.
Mm-hmm. So, this is one with Tim Quirk, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to start with an article that was basically, what's the word for it? Writing down
A transcription.
Yeah, they transcribed a speech that Tim Quirk did. He is he's the head of global content programming at Google Play.
Google Play obviously being the store and all of their online content store, everything from apps to music to movies.
Mm-hmm. And what this head of global content programming said is, you cannot devalue music. Among lots of other things. It was an interesting speech, and I agree with most of what he said. But this is kind of an interesting point because, we got pretty deep into discussing, basically down to semantics of what value means and how you can apply it and whatnot. But I think what we're more interested in is what does it mean for producers of music? Do the new digital models affect them, and what are corporations such as Pandora, Spotify, RDO, what are they doing to ensure that musicians are still getting supported so that they can continue to exist? Mm-hmm. And one of those things is recently with Spotify. They've sort of opened up to artists where money goes and how it flows in a simplified sense.
One of the controversial things about this topic of the value of music, which I would kind of like to, ask some questions to, the listeners, see, just to make you ponder on your own. But basically what Tim Quirk is saying is that you can't devalue music because music is priceless, and that music has different values at different times to different people, depending on the context.
Yeah.
For example, a record can be worth X amount of dollars when it was released and can be worth 10 times less 10 years later. But that's just a contextual value. And the intrinsic value of it is that it's priceless, so that it has no bearing on the market value or anything. And so what I want people to think about is whether what you think of that, and whether you think that music, unlike other certain marketable commodities, has a value over and above what we impose on it in the supply and demand market, the capitalistic market that we impose on music and create an industry for. And I think that's something that's very much open to debate.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's more of a debate it's a personal debate, really. If for us to talk about it to the listeners, you guys would kind of be a moot point, because the value to you is going to be different than the value to me.
Yeah, exactly. And whether or not that's tied to financial, and how much, that's tied to financial value, is also up to you guys.
Yeah, so one of the things that is interesting and comes up a lot when you're talking about if music or how music is being devalued is services that seem to reduce the amount of money that can be made by the artists. And these are legal services. We're not talking about downloading or pirating music. which is completely outside of the industry, but we're talking about free-to-use services such as Spotify and YouTube that allow you to listen to music, but still have programs set up in place to pay out to rights holders and artists and stuff like that. And Spotify has come under fire recently, mostly because they're the top dog in the streaming world.
Yeah.
But a lot of people criticize them for paying artists very, very little per stream.
And one thing I think we should say, because I'm sure there's people out there who don't know Spotify, it's not available in Canada. But if you don't know it, it's basically a music streaming service where you can just kind of search for songs and play them. Mm-hmm. Started in Norway and it's
Sweden.
Okay. One of those Nordic places. Mm-hmm. And it's available in the US and other countries. And it's a pretty big deal. There's a lot of music going through there. A lot of airtime, sort of speak.
Yeah. And just to give you an idea how big they are, their 2012 revenue was $637 million Canadian, converted. So it's a big chunk of change. But ironically, they actually lost $85 million that year.
$85 million, that's so much money.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So $85 million in loss when you have that much revenue is kind of fascinating for, especially for a tech company, which are, you know, traditionally thought of having really low overhead.
Yeah.
But the thing that is killing Spotify, their profits anyway, is the amount of money they pay out for in royalties.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little ironic because Spotify is being criticized by artists as not paying artists enough, whereas Spotify is struggling to stay afloat because they're paying so much money out to rights holders. So the big question then is, where is the money going? And recently we've gotten a little more of an answer to that picture, because recently Spotify created an entire website, actually. They went through a lot of trouble. You can visit it yourself at spotifyartists.com. And they've tried to dispel many of the myths around their service, and they basically offer a lot more transparency about how it works and where the money flows and stuff like that.
And then they also give direct access to data for the artists. You can see who's listening and how much, and that can be helpful for artists in a marketing sense. But also, they can see exactly what's going on with their money, And basically, the way it works, the payout formula is they get a certain amount of money, and 70% of that goes to the rights holders. And then of that 70%, they split it up based on how many streams of your artist that they have divided by the total number of streams that there were for that segment of time. And then they distribute that money accordingly. So it's basically just according to how many streams of the total number of streams you as an artist collected, and you get that chunk of the money, and then that will get distributed however the record label or whatever distributor chooses, or whatever your contract is. It's probably easier to see online because they have a nice little flowchart with simple ratios, but it's basically just a proportion of how much streaming you get.
Right, and I think one of the interesting things that came out of this was that artists, they get the data on how their music is doing on the site, but the numbers that are always quoted on how well Spotify is paying the artists is that on average each stream pays each artist 0.6 cents, between 0.6 cents and 0.84 cents, which is pretty minuscule compared to the up to 50%, 5 to 50% they would get from a digital download. Which would be anywhere from 5 to 50 cents, but one thing that Spotify tries to stress is that they're not paying out per stream, so it's not a calculation of for every stream you get you're getting 0.6 cents, you're getting money based on the lump sum of available money that they can pay out. Which is 70% of their revenue, and then that gets separated between they calculate your popularity based on your plays versus other plays, and then send that to the rights holders. So it's a little more complicated than just paying the rights holders a lump sum of 0.6 cents per play. But at the same time, that is what it works out to on average. And I think Spotify, they really come across as trying to be really defensive about their service on this website, and rightly so, because they have there's a lot of misinformation going out there about how they work and everything. But they do get a little self-righteous at times.
Yeah. One thing I just wanted to add in is that radio shows, and this is in the UK where Spotify also exists, radio shows there pay out less per playing of a song than Spotify does.
Really?
So that's the thing that's interesting, I think to note before and you judge Spotify. Yeah, and there are different numbers, from like, there's one that's like 36 times another one, but they're all still below the Spotify ones. Mm. So sort of the maximum that they're paying artists for radio streams in the UK is still less than the minimum they're paying for Spotify streams based on this article. So, before you criticize Spotify too heavily for not paying artists, you have to remember that other things that allow people to listen to music are doing similar things, are doing
right.
similar
and
paying.
You actually bring up a good point on how how these services are differentiated. Spotify is known as a on-demand streaming service compared to things like
Pandora.
Pandora, which is which is classified actually as basically digital radio in the same vein as Sirius or XM radio is. So because Pandora, if you haven't used Pandora, you basically search for a song that you like or put in keywords that indicate your kind of style of music, what you're interested in hearing, and then it automatically creates a radio station, quote unquote, that will play music similar to that and hopefully to your taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that sense, you're not actually playing exactly the song that you want. You're not targeting songs that you want to play. You're just having songs get chosen for you. And so that classifies it as more of a radio service than a on-demand streaming service like Spotify. And it kind of puts Spotify closer to the digital download camp in that it's replacing digital downloads more so than it's replacing radio.
Yeah, it's like you can have a sort of Spotify collection you can just play off there rather than even having to download it to a computer.
And in every country where Spotify exists, there's different structures for how royalties get paid between on-demand streaming services and radio services. So Pandora will get paid they'll pay their royalties by paying out a lump sum in a similar way that radio stations do in Canada, such as CITR, where we pay a lump sum to SOCAN, which we talked about last week, and they distribute the royalties to their members. So that's similar to how Pandora works, but in Spotify's case, they pay out to the same organizations, but based on how many times the artist gets paid or played.
And one thing I thought was interesting is that they actually take into account, let me see if I can find my notes, like where does that the music is being streamed, the number of paid users in those countries versus regular users in those countries, the different currency values in those countries relative to each other, and the artist's royalty rates as well. So those all come into play when they're deciding on how much money goes to different parties.
Mm-hmm. And kind of moving down the payment stream there, Spotify pays out 70% of their gross revenue directly to royalties, and yet artists are complaining that they're only getting 0.6 cents per stream. And so where's the money going? We still don't have a complete picture because there's a lack of transparency once the royalties leave Spotify's bank mm-hmm. accounts. But from there, they go to a few different places, and I think that's where the real money is being made.
Yeah.
And so, as we talked about previously, when you release music, there are two different copyrights that are created for it. There's the copyright of the composition and performance, which is typically held by the artist, or in some cases, the songwriter. And then there's also the rights held for the master or the recording. And typically, with the bigger labels, that will be held by the label itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's around, I'm not really sure how much Spotify doesn't really say how much they send to each party for each copyright. But when it goes to the publisher or the songwriters, that copyright, which is, traditionally it's called the copyright, gets sent also to the music publisher and also the distributor and stuff like that. And the right that gets sent to the master, the phonogram, as I call it, signified with a P, would go to mostly to the label, and then from there would the label determine, based on their contract with the artist, how much the artist gets out of that.
Yeah, and there's some neat streams on, or some neat pictures on, sorry, their infographics showing you how, for broadcasting, digital sales, and interactive streams, how the money flows for music in different labels. So like indie labels, major labels, and self-released things through distributors. It basically shows where the percentage of money goes. So you can kind of piece together from Spotify's revenue down to the artist how that money's flowing. Mm-hmm. And that's on futureofmusic.org. And you can just search for music and how money flows.
We'll post a link on the blog as well for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so the one of the things that's problematic now is that the label that the artist is signed to is exerting a huge amount of influence on how much money the artist themselves is getting based on the contract they have with the label.
Yeah,
and so there's a few things that will influence that compensation, and one of them is in the contract that you sign. There's sometimes distinctions between what constitutes a sale of your song and what constitutes a license. So a license would be when, say, someone from a film wants to use your song in a TV show, or in a film, then the producer would license that song from the label. And usually licensing payouts to artists are lower than direct sales. And so there's kind of, because we're in this gray area where services don't really fall into either licensing or sales, there's some controversy over what constitutes a license and what constitutes a sale with Spotify, and whether Spotify you would count as a sale if a stream, or it's just a license, is debatable, and labels can choose to interpret the contracts or write contracts in a way that creates the bulk of that revenue from streaming services count as licensing,
mm-hmm.
which would cut artist fees down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Another factor would be the streaming, just basically directly streaming versus downloading rates, which is similar in that the fee that someone would get for streaming is lower than what they would get for a digital download. And then there's also things like recoupment factors, where if you signed a big major label contract and your song just came out, you probably still owe your label a bunch of money in the form of album sales. So they'll front you your money to record the album, and then you owe them, say, $50,000 or whatever it costs to make that. And you're not really going to see much of any money until that debt is paid off. So it could be written into contracts as well that, you know, you're not going to get any money from streaming until, or very little money from streaming until the debt is paid off.
Which is, Tim and I were talking about this earlier, and he brought up a good point that it's tough for artists, because let's say you have a big hit that comes out and you get a lot of streaming activity on it, but you haven't paid back your debt, so you don't see much of that money. And then once your debt is paid off, then the buzz has kind of died off and there's not many people streaming it. And so then you never really see the money.
Right. And that's true now more than ever with the turnover we see in hit music.
Just, you know, things blow up and then they die down real quickly.
Right. So we really have to start, all of this is really to say that we really need to start maybe not pointing the finger so much at Spotify, who is providing, basically trying to find a way for people to listen to music for free and still pay artists, and maybe start looking at the other major players in this system.
Yeah, like basically, you know, figuring out where that money is going if Spotify is paying X amount of money to the artists, or, you know, to the rights holders, and then from there, where is it going? Mm-hmm. You know, what is happening that's making it so that artists only receive, you know, whatever. You know, I've seen things like 1% of what they're getting from Spotify or something.
Right. the good news is, though, is that there are a lot of services that you can use to get your music streaming on these sites without having to sign a contract that's going to turn you into a slave to your sales or your contract. And we talked about some of them last week, one being... what did we talk about last week? DistroKid, and we also talked about TuneCore. Those are two. DistroKid actually doesn't support streaming services yet, but TuneCore does, and there's some others that Spotify supports. So you can directly, as an artist, get your music on streaming services by paying a service a small cut of that.
And one that they mention on that Spotify mentions on their artist page is the nonprofit Sound Exchange, which basically pays the artists and recorders. I think it's good to see that they're nonprofit, because it helps me, it makes me feel better to think, you know, that they're not interested in taking a cut from the music like the big labels are.
I'm on there right now.
And, yeah, so those are kind of the big three players that we see that are helping artists to get their music out there without a major label, without major producers. And it's good to see that Spotify is trying to support that and also help people to see what it is that's going on with their money, you know, so that people can see, okay, by using the Spotify service, where is this money going to? Who am I supporting? And then they can start to, you know, put pressure on labels or whoever is taking the money from artists, you know, and sort of make their own decisions on what they're going to consume and which services they're going to take part in order to support or not support the labels or Spotify or the artists or whatever.
So yeah, anything else you want to add to that, Jeff? So you've been talking for a while.
Yeah.
So I think just about wraps up our talk section. If you want to hear more stuff like this, if you want to hear the songs we're playing later, any of our previous episodes, you can check out our blog on the Copyright Experiment, which is copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And we'll have all our previous episodes up there. And we'll post up our links to the stuff we're talking about today as well. That's copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And you're tuning into the Copyright Experiment, 101.9 FM.
And it is exactly 11:22, and we'll be right back after some fun ads. Enjoy.
Another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
The Urban Renewal Project is 1 year strong. Come join us for our anniversary party on December 17th at the Cobalt. Showcasing Canadian hip-hop, R&B artists JC Subliminal, Family Compact, Black Ace, Baby C, B Diamond, and Don Castro. The concert will be broadcasted live from 10 p.m. till midnight on 101.9 FM.
CITR presents DJing 101.9. We offer people a way to learn about the fun of mixing, sharing music, and throwing events. Our workshops and studio access is free for students and members. No experience or turntables are necessary. Workshops from 4 to 8 p.m. are on Tuesdays in 212A in the Student Union Building at UBC. For more information, visit us at citr.ca or follow at CITRDJ on Twitter.
There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus. Venus.
Why not? We bounce the signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it? The other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hi, this is the Gearing Up Inventors. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
And you are back here with the Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9. Autonomy is still looking for his equipment, which someone decided to misplace in the studio. So he's going to play some music anyways, because he's got it figured out, because he's a boss. What are we starting off with here, Tim?
First track I'm playing is a track by this kind of disco punk electro duo called Deluxe out of LA. Kind of these young kids, and they've been playing. They put out this EP for free last week with Scion. It's a pretty cool track. It's going to get stuck in your head too, so beware. Yeah. Let's get into it.
And that's good, because if it gets stuck in your head, you can download it for free, exactly. Like all the other songs on our show. You can find them at our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And we have links to our show as well as all the things that we play, so you can download them yourself. And let's kick it off.
We're better at making
This is Kaloa. That's K-O-L-O-A-H. Get Back. Before that, we heard Rain City Riot. Was Wanna Disco in Berlin? Wanna Disco in Berlin before that. Who wouldn't want a Disco in Berlin? This is Luke Atlas on the remix of the Vancouver-based Topless Gay Love Techno Party. The song is called Danger Love. We'll be right back. This is Liz, All Them Boys. Down a little bit. This is Klein, Heartless. I know, so dramatic. Thank you. Coming in here is Jack Green's edit of Sampha's Can't Get Close. Released for free via Lucky Me's Advent Calendar, new track every day. New track every day! space dimension controller with Forced Into a Capsule from his Free to Download series correlation number 1.5. Unique on the remix of T-Pain's Up and Down. Sorry, just Up Down.
Rick, Bandit.
Put it on that beat,
pussy, pussy. Iggy, Iggy, pussy, illy. What it in the Amazon? Taste this kitty. Silly billy, popping pillies. Smoking like a swisher, lick this billy. Mold him, soak him, hook him like crack. After the shot, mold him, battle drive. This should be Apple, holy cock. The illest on the planet. Better play your card right, Mr. Gannett. If you wanna hang here, right, don't hand it. Never not bad, I lost your bandit. Never not bad, I lost your bandit. I do it right with drugs, understand it. I do it right now, please don't panic. Left. Right, back to the middle, head on swivel, neck till I quivel, open your mouth, taste the rainbow, here's my skills. I said left, right, back to the middle, head on a swivel, neck till I quivel, open your mouth, taste the rainbow, taste my skills.
Pussy. This is Lisa Deluxe on the remix of Iggy Azalea's Pussy with $2 signs instead of S's. Speaking of gay love techno parties, they're throwing a party tomorrow night, is it?
Yep.
What are the deets about it, Tim?
Tomorrow night,
it's an underground party called Backdoor.
So if you can find it, you can come. Check it out. This is the Passengers remix of MU, Mysteries of Love. And next up we have Pierre coming on with Aural Tentacles. And for now we'll finish up this song. Enjoy, have a good rest of your night.
If you like this song, I think it's pretty cool. Or any of their songs we play tonight, make sure you check out the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. All free downloads, all the time. Have a good night.